Hey everyone, welcome to episode 172 of My 123 Cents, the podcast. The guest this week is Jamie from Mania Crawl, and Jamie and I will be talking more about that event that goes on every year for the last few years prior to WrestleMania. This year, of course, being in New Orleans, it's a pub crawl that is designed to raise money and awareness for Connor's Cure, and we'll get into all the details in this week's episode. And before we hear from Jamie, just some other news and notes to talk about, and one of them being Stride Pro Wrestling. Saturday night, of course, was Stride Pro Wrestling benefit fundraiser show for Christopher Elementary School in Christopher, Illinois. It was a great show. We had more than 400 fans pack into the Christopher gymnasium, and it was exciting. You know, lots of new faces. Of course, it was a fundraiser for the school, so naturally there were a lot of people from the school there, but pumped up, excited kids, especially for a great night of family-friendly wrestling action. We saw lots of great action, including Bo Sawyer taking on Aaron Brooks. Aaron Brooks got the win there. In the Battle of the Behemoths, it was Bull Bronson and Roger Mathis. And these two, you know, I wrote a blog about it earlier in the week, the irresistible force meeting the immovable object. And these two put on a great exhibition, a great show. Roger Mathis came out ringside, knocked me out of the chair that I was sitting in and was going to attack Bull with it. The referee took it away from him. When that happened, Roger was frustrated, threw me into the ring again, backed me into the corner as Bull charged with a chair. Roger got out of the way. I nearly got hit. Bull dropped the chair when he thought he was going to hit me. And then, unfortunately, Roger Mathis rolled up Bull and got the win. I was really hoping Bull would pick up the victory there, but Roger Mathis is your winner in that contest. We also, before the intermission hit, we crowned a new Legacy champion and a Stride Cup winner. The finales of that tournament featured El Magnifico, Jose Magnifico, battling the wrestler simply known now as Anonymous. He has not talked to anyone backstage. He has not given anyone his name. So we've simply been calling him Anonymous or the Mystery Man, just kind of dressed in black. And the big man choke slamming his way to a victory, another victory, undefeated so far in Stride Pro Wrestling, and is now the new Legacy champion and the first ever Stride Cup winner. And the interesting thing, too, is there was a young man in a mask who stood ringside or stood up on the ramp, then came down and helped put the beatdown on Jose Magnifico after that match. Don't know this young man's name either, but it looks as if Anonymous is getting some help. So he is obviously talking to someone in the backstage area. And again, a great victory there. We went to intermission and introduced a couple of folks who are doing fundraisers with Stride Pro Wrestling. As mentioned, this event itself in Christopher was a fundraising event. And now the next fundraiser is up in Mount Vernon on April 14th. James Ellsworth will be the guest at that show. And then we head to Pinckneyville on May 26th for a fundraiser that will be all steel cage matches. So that's happening at Pinckneyville High School again on May 26th. That is the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend. The April 14th show is going on at the Harley-Davidson dealership in Mount Vernon. So I will have more announcements and more on that on not only this podcast, but also on the My 123 Cents social media feeds, as well as Stride Pro Wrestling's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter accounts too. So looking forward to those two events, and also looking forward to Anniversary Show. The second annual Stride Pro Wrestling anniversary event is happening on March 10th, which is just this upcoming Saturday. Right now, the location is to be determined because we've had some issues once again this month with the Illinois Star Center Mall. They're going through some changes, and hopefully sooner rather than later, we'll be back at the mall. But I am working actually this week, and I will have an announcement again, on all those social media platforms about where Stride is headed next. Again, that is happening, though, on Saturday, March 10th, this upcoming Saturday. And the Raging Redneck came in during the course of the interview that I was doing with Stone Cold Plumpster Josh Plumlee and started running his mouth, saying he wanted the match. So, you know what? Plumlee obliged and gave old Raging Redneck a stunner and pinned him and left in about 5 seconds total. So I'm not sure what Raging Redneck had on his mind, but he obviously wanted to be a part of the show at Christopher. We then went into a number one contenders match for the Legacy Championship. It was a fatal four-way. It featured J.D. Wilk, T-Dog Jerry Travelstead, Ace Hawkins, and the returning Farmer Billy Hills. And Farmer came back to a huge pop. The fans clearly missing Farmer, who has been out of action since, I believe, the last Stride show he did with us was in early October in Pinckneyville, the night that Ricky Steamboat was on the card. So Farmer suffering at back injury, but had been rehabbing and going through a lot to get back into the ring, and we're glad to have him back. We've had some great matches, memories of Farmer Billy Hills, and he actually pulled off the victory in this match. But during the course of the match, unfortunately, J.D. Wilk re-injured his shoulder, and I'm not exactly sure the status of him as of the this morning as I record this. I record on Sunday morning, so J.D. needed some assistance backstage and actually needed help getting home. And I want to thank Dalton Anthony, who has been a guest on this podcast before, as well as on he is one of the hosts over there in Cape Girardeau for the not only for part of Cape Championship Wrestling, but he's also one of the hosts on the Podzilla 1985 podcast, along with Asa Gray. Asa was with Dalton as well, and I'm going to assume that both these guys helped with getting JD back home. He lives also in the southeast Missouri area. He's over in Poplar Bluff, about an hour, I guess, from Cape. But thank you to everyone who helped not only get JD stabilized backstage, but then get him home. And JD, if you are listening, well wishes, man. I hope you are feeling better sooner rather than later, too. I know he has had some shoulder issues in the past. So, but as I mentioned, Farmer Billy Hills ends up winning that matchup and will go on to face Anonymous, our mystery man, for the Legacy Championship. Also, this night saw new tag team champions crowned as Heath Hatton and Axe Allwort. You know, these two had a storied past, a great rivalry. I kind of compare it to the old school days of Hulk Hogan versus Rowdy Roddy Piper, you know, CM Punk versus John Cena. However you want to look at it, these two will go down as two of the greatest rivals in indie wrestling, especially in this area of the country. They have feuded in All-American Pro Wrestling, as well as Pro Wrestling Collision. They've wrestled each other at SICW in East Carondelet, Illinois. So these two have a very storied past, and but have put their differences aside for a common enemy in the DR Party. That's, of course, Dexter Roswell and Scott Phoenix, who were defending the Stride Pro Wrestling Tag Team Championships. And unfortunately for the DR Party, we have new tag team champions, and in doing so, this makes Heath Hatton the very first Triple Crown champion in Stride. He, of course, beat Axe Allwort for the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship in November of 2016, then went on to beat Tony Flood for the Legacy Championship in September of 2017, and then winning the tag team championships in March of 2018. The Legacy run was a brief one. Tony regained it back, and Tony, actually speaking of, was the number one contender for the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship held by Jay Spade, and these two, of course, battled in the very gymnasium where they became friends many years ago at Christopher Elementary School, and it was Jay Spade coming out on top in a very heated and action-packed match. Tony Flood, frustrated, very much so. I know that it was on his mind and he wanted to win in front of the hometown crowd that he turned his back on and left Christopher so many years ago to move to Canada and adopt Canada as his home. So there is more to this story. I am certain of that. And we will have more details again on all the Stride Pro Wrestling social media as well as my 123 cents. Speaking of social media, I want to shout out to Jittery Monkey. Be sure to check out the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. This is where you are hearing this podcast emanate from, whether it is through your other listening devices or listening apps. JitteryMonkey.com, founded by Greg Mahochko many years ago, invited me to be on board. And Chad eventually evolved onto the show as well. Not only my 123 cents, but he has got his own podcast now called Positive Cynicism, and he is doing some good things over there. So be sure to check out Chad's show. His production values have increased greatly as well. I need to step up my game for sure. He is setting a good example. Greg Mahochko has two shows, Five Hearts as well as Nerds United. So check out JitteryMonkey.com for all those details, as well as our friends over at Skullbuster WrestleCast. Jason and Tom have a great show up from this past week on Coulda, Shoulda, Woulda. I agree with everything they talked about from Magnum TA, the Von Erichs. Bruiser Brody's name was mentioned by Bob Schulte. He also talked about Gentleman Chris Adams. Some great picks on some of the men who have either been injured and taken out of the business too soon, or who have passed away. So be sure to check out the Skullbuster WrestleCast as well. And finally, and this is not wrestling related, but if you are an indie wrestler, you may be interested in this. I am a partner now with a company called Manscaped. You can go to the Jittery Monkey page and click on the link, or over at my 123 cents, and it is exactly what it sounds like. Manscaping materials. It's the they claim to be the best manscaping equipment and devices and lotions, creams, everything for your grooming needs below the belt. So again, it is manscaped.com, and I have the link on the Jittery Monkey page. So when you make a purchase, some of that comes back to me, as well as Collar and Elbow, of course. Collar and Elbow has a big sale going on right now, a spring cleaning sale that ends actually on March 7th. So if you are listening to this in the early days of its release, be sure to check out collarandelbow.com or collarandelbowbrand.com. And when you use the promo code MY123CENTS, you will save 10% on your purchase. And like I said, a big sale going on right now. New spring items, too, that are on sale. Without any further ado, though, let's learn more about this year's Mania Crawl.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 123 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, I am joined once again this year by Jamie Mazauskas from Mania Crawl. It is a big event. And actually, I think this is Jamie's third time here on my 123 cents, the podcast, talking about Mania Crawl. Jamie, welcome back.
Hey, Kevin. So happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So I think most people get the idea now. This is the fifth Mania Crawl that has been done. But for folks who maybe don't know the specifics about it, kind of give us the backstory. What exactly is Mania Crawl?
Mania Crawl is a bar crawl that's hosted every year before WrestleMania in the city that WrestleMania is taking place at. This is our fifth year, like you said. This year we returned to New Orleans, where Mania Crawl originated, and we raised money for Connor Secure. The event's 100% free, and all the money raised, 100% of it is donated directly to Connor Secure.
So tell me how you guys got started, because you mentioned New Orleans. So that would have been 2014 when WrestleMania 30 was in town. And that was the year I think the world kind of got to know Connor, who was, of course, the young fan who was a huge WWE fan, a huge Daniel Bryan fan. And when Daniel Bryan won the championship that night from Randy Orton, beating he and Batista, there's famous pictures of Connor in the front row kind of celebrating Daniel Bryan's victory. Sadly, though, Connor died just a few months after that event from cancer. And I know you guys have come together to really raise awareness and raise money for Connor's cure. So what really got you into this and inspired you guys to get involved?
Well, the first year in New Orleans, we didn't it was sort of our first Mania Crawl was planned literally within 2 weeks of the event. So it was a last minute idea and it sort of snowballed and they were super successful. So from there, we never even thought about, you know, having an annual event until we got there and people were asking us about the next event. So, you know, that year, 2014 into 2015, we really started creating a brand and more of an identity for what this event is and how we're going to plan it each year, because we really had no idea that this was going to turn into what it is today. But one thing we wanted to do for the first event, which we weren't able to just because of time, was to really create a charity event and raise money for a cause. So that year we were thinking, we went over multiple different causes we could have donated towards, and this one just made the most sense, especially to your point of everybody got to know Connor that year. New Orleans was special for Connor's cure, so it just sort of felt like it was very appropriate to pick this charity for to go along with our event. So that it was sort of a no-brainer, and you know, we had a lot of support from the people like Connor's cure, and the people who run their social media account. So it's a good partnership, and we're really happy that we're able to make it happen each year.
It is a lot of fun. I've mentioned it before, and unfortunately, I'm not making it back to WrestleMania again this year. But I want to get back. I love that whole weekend. There's so much going on, whether it's WWE related with the Hall of Fame and NXT now and Access. And just other little side things going on. But then, of course, when we were in Dallas, I guess 2 years ago, I went to my first Mania Crawl. And it's a lot of fun. Even if you're not into the whole drinking scene, there are hundreds of wrestling fans that show up. Many of them were in costume. It was just a great environment to be around. You kind of get to commiserate with your fellow wrestling fans. And really, the bar that we had stopped at in Dallas, I think it was probably 95% to 98% wrestling fans. So it's a lot of fun. So obviously you're getting a good reception from these host cities and their drinking establishments.
Yeah, no, I mean, most of the bars we work with they're really great. They'll offer us drink specials and they're really great hosts. And like you said, it's a bar crawl, but I really think it's an event that happens to be a bar crawl, because it's a natural social location. And I mean, like, people go to bars and it's a very social environment. So that's really the main idea behind it, because I couldn't imagine being able to do this type of event and it not be at a bar and have the success that we have every year. So yeah, it's not about drinking. It's about the environment, the crowd, the energy. Everybody's excited for WrestleMania. And I think everybody does have a great time with hundreds of wrestling fans, and people make friends that they didn't have before. And you know, you see those same people every year at Mania Crawl. So it's sort of cool.
Yeah, it's a reunion for you guys all, I'm sure. And the thing about it too is that we should mention is Mania Crawl is free. You can go and hang out. And the year I was there, and you know, update us if it needs updating, but basically a hat was passed around and everybody just kind of threw cash in what they had. And then that money, just all of it just directly goes to Connor's cure, right?
Yeah, Dallas was a really successful year for us. I think we raised over $2,000 that year, which was awesome. The one thing was that we really started to push the fundraising this year, because last year we saw an increase in attendance, which was incredible, but we did see a decline in donations. So this year we're really pushing the fundraising, and we're hoping to definitely surpass our total in Dallas this year in New Orleans. We set up where you can buy t-shirts at teespring.com/maniacrawl5. All the money there will be donated towards Connor's Gear as well. We will accept PayPal to maniacrawl@gmail.com, Venmo at maniacrawl. And of course, like you said, we collect cash donations the day of the event. And there's also an option on Eventbrite when you sign up directly to donate there. So we really have created every opportunity for the fans in attendance to donate and give back towards Connor's Cure, because, I mean, in 2018, it's really common for a lot of people to be out at an event like Mania Crawl and they just don't have cash on them. So that is something we're combating, and we, you know, this year we've already raised, I think, just under $900. And we're around 38 days, I believe, until the event. So that's a huge accomplishment for us, because $900, you know, we'll definitely surpass $1,000 by the time we get down to New Orleans. And we hope to certainly pass our total from Dallas, which I think was $2,078. So we're hoping to definitely raise that this year.
Do you have any idea how much you guys have raised so far between the previous four Mania Crawls?
I believe, because it was like the first year we didn't start raising a ton of money until Dallas. Like $2,000 was incredible.
Yeah.
No, our goal is like one day we'll be raising $10,000 to $15,000 an event. But it's a small operation, so we're still trying to find ways that we can do that. And this year, we saw a lot of success on the experiments we tried. I believe in San Francisco, we raised $700. Dallas, we raised around just under $2,100. And last year was around like $500, which was disappointing. But so far this year, we've already raised just under $900. So total, I guess, $2,100. It's probably around like what, like just 35. I think it's around $3,500 last time we counted in total. But you know, we're looking to bump that much higher after this year's event.
Well, you know what? I'm going to aim high for you guys. I hope you double your total from the last three or four Mania Crawls and this year.
Absolutely.
In New Orleans, because New Orleans, I think there's just that atmosphere and people are having a good time, and I think you guys will do amazing. So you mentioned that you have worked with the folks from Connor's Cure with this, and obviously they are receptive and appreciative of what you guys do. Has there been any discussion at all? Have you had any kind of contact with WWE about this and trying to get on their social media or have them plug you guys?
I honestly haven't. It's just sort of it's a weird thing, because I don't know if I necessarily want – I don't know if WWE would be interested in our event just because it's not exactly an event that would be a family event, I would say.
Sure.
You know, you're not going to have your parents and children attend this event, so I'm not sure it's something they're going to be interested in. We never tried to connect directly with WWE. Maybe that's something in the future that could happen. But right now, we're just in contact with Connor's Cure. And we work directly with the Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh, but nothing further than that at this time.
And I know you don't have specifics at this point, but I do want to also bring it up, because one of the other cool aspects and elements that you've incorporated into this is using ride sharing to get fans to and from, whether it's the different bars that you're visiting or get them back to their hotel or to the arena or to, I guess, the Superdome this year for the show. And talk to me a little bit about the importance of those kinds of relationships. You know, obviously you're working with the bars and there's got to be an agreement there, but you guys really have thought this out and planned this out. It's making sure everybody is safe as possible too.
Yeah, I mean, that's super important to us. Naturally, at a bar, there's going to be drinks. and people are going to have a good time. So it's important to us to make sure that they get to and from the arena or their hotel safe as possible. So we've teamed up with Uber in the past. We're going to team up with them this year. They're going to be the designated driver for Mania Crawl 5. We'll have a promo code leading up to the event. Most likely the promo code will be Mania Crawl 5. And so, yeah, it's important for us to make sure that they have a safe way to get to and from the arena, whether it's Uber or this year, which is super convenient compared to years past, is you can walk from Mania Crawl to the stadium if you would like it. It's about a mile, I think, so some people might prefer taking an Uber. But we do, you know, every year we've set up a way for safe travel to and from Mania Crawl, whether it's through Uber, Lyft, or even in San Francisco, we teamed up with the mass transit out there to make sure that we can show people exactly how to get there, what bus to take, how to download the app. So that is definitely something that's super important to us.
Now, have you guys released or do you know yet where you're going to be going as far as the establishments are concerned?
Mania Crawl is going to start at 11 a.m. The morning of WrestleMania. We're going to be at Pat O'Brien's from 11 to 1. Then following that, we're going to be at three other bars for an hour each down Bourbon Street. We haven't confirmed those three bars, but we are locked in for Pat O'Brien's at 11 a.m. at Mania Crawl. So you got a two-hour window to get there. We'll have the details for sure emailed out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And those will all be locked up. We're hoping to run the same bars we did in 2014, but we just haven't had an opportunity to communicate with the bars yet.
Yeah, it's kind of nice going back to kind of where it all started too, because you've got those relationships that you've already established over the last couple of years. You mentioned social media, so let's talk a little bit about that as well, how people can get involved. Of course, it's Mania Crawl. It's maniacrawl.com is your main page, and then that'll direct you to the t-shirts and all the other things that you have. But what else are you guys doing social media wise?
I mean, it's important to follow us on social media if you are attending the events. We will send out email blasts, but instant updates will be through Mania Crawl. And we're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all three at Mania Crawl. So there we'll be providing updates to everybody in attendance.
So what advice do you have for a first-time WrestleMania attendee or maybe a first-time, I guess more appropriately, Mania Crawl attendee? What would you tell someone that's thinking about coming out and celebrating with you guys?
I think that Mania Crawl is an event that should be on top of your list to do, right under WrestleMania. It completes your entire day. It makes it exciting, creates energy. And I have not heard any negative feedback, and that's complete honestly, and it's something we're super proud about. There's never any type of incidents at this event. Everybody is incredible. It's so much fun. It allows people to open up and get to know people they might not have had a conversation with if they weren't at this event. And it creates a sort of party environment among wrestling fans celebrating the most exciting day of the year while they're actually there. And they all have tickets for the most part going to this event. So we're hoping that this really becomes a staple event of WrestleMania weekend. And it's on everybody's to-do list, just as NXT, WrestleCon, WrestleMania itself, the Raw, the WrestleMania, and Mania Crawl. We want to make sure that this is on that list for everybody who plans on going to WrestleMania. And if this is your first event, you know, come in and feel real comfortable to, you know, have a good time. Start chanting with the fans and, you know, start talking to the people around you, because everybody there, you know, we're all there together. And, you know, you'll make friends with people from Australia to Singapore to, you know, California to Europe. There's people from all over the world there, and it's super incredible to talk to them.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and I'm actually going to give a shout out to a friend of mine, Martin Endersby, who my buddy Chad and I met at WrestleMania. It was the one in Atlanta. I don't remember the number off the top of my head. But we met him.
27,
right? Yes. He was dressed like the model Rick Martel,
yes.
And we were dressed as the Heenan family that year. So we obviously, you know, when you see someone else dressed up just as silly as you are, you bond and interact with them. And we've kept in touch with Martin through the years. And actually, when we were in Dallas, because I was not fully aware of Mania Crawl at that point, he sent us a message that he was going. And I, you know, had just kind of gotten my feet wet into the craft beer hobby as well. So it just made sense to go. And so Martin introduced us to that. And you mentioned people from around the world. Martin is originally from Scotland. So and I know I don't know for sure, but I'm fairly certain he will be a part of Mania Crawl again this year.
He's been at every event since Mania Crawl 2 in San Francisco. He's awesome. Yeah, that's the thing. It's awesome. There's so many countless amount of people that I know and now I'm friends with from this event, and I see him every single year. So yeah, him and his friends, they're a group that I look forward to seeing every year. And like you said, the costumes are amazing. Every year we like to have a costume contest, give out a prize to, you know, the best costume voted on by the crowd, whoever gets over on the crowd. Which was really fun, a lot of fun actually last year for sure. So yeah, there's tons of costumes and everybody's just there, like you said, have a good time.
It is a lot of fun. Jamie, is there anything else you want to say before we kind of start wrapping things up?
No. I mean, I think we covered everything. You know, again, it's thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely.
Mania Crawl has grown into something I never thought it would, and it's incredible fun. It's a pleasure for me and my friends to put this together every year, but we would not even be close, not even come close to the success we have every year if it wasn't for people like yourself, other websites and podcasts and different platforms that support us year after year. You know, this is truly an event for the fans, by the fans, for a great cause, and a good time. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for doing what you do. It's a great idea. Again, it is maniacrawl.com, Mania Crawl 5 coming your way in New Orleans this WrestleMania Sunday. Take care, everyone, and have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.